and he is coming back to this earth. Do you know the devil is completely lost? Do you know that all this evil that this in this world is happening, all this Halloween, is losing and it's its final game before they go down? It's all going to melt down. It's going to sink like a big boat, all this world, all this evil. It's going to go down and it will just be destroyed and it won't exist. It's nothing, it's thin air. But Jesus is and will be forever. He's the most real thing that we, person that we can ever experience. Jesus is real. He's more real than 90% of things we think is real. And I pray that he will become a reality for you tonight, Jesus. I pray you would step into his kingdom like never before, because this world is going down, so you better get out of it. This depressing world is going down. You just better get out of it. You just better kiss it goodbye and get to the other boat, because that's going to last forever. The devil's game is coming to an end. Tonight we're preaching on 12 sons of Jacob. Haven't even got the slide up there. It doesn't matter. It's God. It's the son. It's not God. It's the name God. It's called. And it means favor. It means God's favor. No, it doesn't. It means good fortune. And out of that good fortune, we're going to talk to you tonight about God's favor. There we go. Right. God's favor for us. Good fortune and God's favor. Do you know that God's favor is awesome? God's with us and for us. This favor that God brought for us, Jesus spoke of it when he said that, when he read from Isaiah, and he said that, "I have come to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captive free, to preach the good news of the kingdom, and to declare the year of the Lord." And that year of the Lord in the Old Testament was a year of Jubilee, what it was referring to proclaim the year of the Lord. That was 1 year in 50 years, actually. The Israelites had a law that every 7 year there was a Sabbath year, and they couldn't harvest or put any seed in the ground or do any work. They just ate of what grew anyways. So 6 years they would work and toil and plant stuff. And the seventh year, they would just let it go. They had to let it go, let the land rest. And what fruit came out, they just ate. Now, this they did 7 times. So 7 times 7 years, they did that. And when that was fulfilled, so 49 years, the 50th year, God called, that will be a year of celebration. On that year, you won't believe it, what the law was. Every slave was to be set free, right? Every debt was to be cancelled. That's insane, isn't it? I mean, it sounds awesome, and it is awesome. Imagine for the people who actually own things, and people own them stuff, and but God said, right, everything's going to be cancelled. Everyone's going to be set free. It was called the year of Jubilee. And now Jesus said, I've come to give you the year of the Lord. I've brought you God's favor. That was just a little taste of what was to come. The Israelites were to celebrate in that year the goodness of God. All the slaves were left free. No other nation would ever think of doing anything like that. It was a foretaste of things to come in Jesus. And they did come, and they're here now. Jesus is here. Do you know what, Christians and me, we need to step out from any bit of depression and darkness as soon as we can and come in contact with Jesus, rather sooner than later, because there's tremendous joy right in Jesus. There's tremendous freedom. You know, Satan makes everything gray. He's the father of lies. He's a deceiver, discourager, and he's cunning. But he's going down. He is. You know, when I was 5 years old, or six, can't remember, but I became so afraid one night of the devil. I don't know why. I just became afraid of the thought in my bed on my own that night that the devil is going to walk in the door for some reason. Because I could see through the window, I could see our front door. It was in the corner. And I just thought the devil's going to walk in. And this supernatural fear came over me. I was petrified. And I started to, ah! And my brother and my mother would run in. What's going on? What's going on? The devil is coming to get me. And they started praying and started praying. And I was, you know, still crying. The devil is coming to get me. And after a while, we prayed. My mom said, Carl, do you know that when you say the name Jesus, the devil will flee in an instant? I was thinking about that then. I remember that. When you say Jesus, he will run instantly away from you because you cannot bear this name. You cannot bear the power and the sound of this name. So I tried it. And in an instant, as a young boy, I saw a picture. I saw a picture when I was back in Norway with our family. And there was a sign on the road in the mountains of Norway to watch out for falling rocks that come from the slopey hills next to the roads. And on that picture, there was a guy running away. It's like a street picture, like a triangle. It was just, the black figure of a guy like that. Rocks coming. And there was fire coming out of his bum. That was the picture. True. That was the sign, the traffic sign. And I saw the picture in my head and I started to laugh. I started to laugh so much. Because that was the devil. He was running away with fire sticking out of his bum. Because of the word of Jesus, not because of rocks. Well, the heavy rocks of Jesus chasing after him. I had a revelation in that moment. Yes. Yes. There's a way out of this oppression. It's called Jesus. And I said the name Jesus. And I started to laugh. And I started to laugh. And my brother started to laugh. And my mother started to laugh. And we were laughing and laughing. And that was actually my first preach ever. It was to the devil. And that preach was Jesus. And that was it. He was done for. He was gone. There's incredible power in Jesus. And we have to believe it. Brothers and sisters, we have to believe it. Because there's incredible darkness out there as well. I've read the books of Narnia. And I love the books of Narnia. But in The Last Battle, I'm going to give it away now, because if you haven't read it by now, you know, it's too late. I'm going to give it away. It's the end, right? The last king of Narnia. And it's going to be the end. This is the end of the world. Narnia is going down. The enemy is overtaking the capital. But what happened was, there was an ape, basically, who found the lion skin. And in Narnia, the great lion was a picture of Jesus. He would appear every now and again and do his work through these children from our world who appear in this Narnian world. And this ape, this evil ape, found this lion skin and convinced the donkey to wear it and deceived everyone. That was the Aslan. That was the Jesus. And it's quite a interesting, awesome book, actually, of the last times, of the deceiving things. And people were like, the animals of Narnia started to believe. And every now and again, the ape would get this false Aslan out. You can imagine this little donkey with lion skin on. It didn't look much of an Aslan. So what he did was he set the big bonfire. And in the dark, from the stable, he brought this false Aslan out. And he started to make all the people work for him, this ape. All these animals, I mean. And they were all deceived, actually, and crying out to this Aslan. And they were terrified. Till this king, Tyrion, in Narnia, cries out for help because he's lost everything. And these children get sent to this world to help him. And they think of a plan what to do. They were thinking of stealing that donkey and stealing the lion skin and bringing it out and showing to everyone that this is a trick. It's the false Aslan. And they do it. They manage to do it. They steal the donkey from the stable. Are you with me still? Right? With the lion skin. And they bring it to a bunch of dwarves and show him the real Aslan. And the dwarves totally reject them and say, this is just another Aslan. No, this is the false Aslan trying to tell them and show them. This is the false Aslan. And these dwarves, even though they're Narnians, they were totally couldn't accept it, couldn't believe it. They thought it was another trick. And because they were deceived, they were already so deeply deceived. and discouraged. And they were so afraid of being taken in. They were so afraid of another trick. They couldn't believe these kids and this king. And when the kings approached this bonfire where it was all happening, it's coming to something, just wait. When they approached this bonfire, and there was the stable, and the ape was controlling all this crowd and threatening to throw people into that stable because it was like a scary place. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And whenever somebody was taken into the stable, thrown in, what happened to them was they saw what they believed in. When an evil soldier was thrown in, he would see his evil God and commander and be terrified of it. This is not the full story. I'm just a little bit all over. But I'm trying to get you to the point of what God's trying to say. And when those dwarves were thrown in, they didn't see anything but the stable. They just saw the straw. They were locked up in there. And they didn't see anything else but the mud and the clay and the smell and the stench. And when the kids were thrown in the stable, that was the end. They saw Narnia. They saw heaven. You know, we can become very discouraged. And those dwarves, they tried to help them, the kids. They tried to help them and show them that they were then in Narnia. And they were trying to show to these dwarves that, look, you're not in the stable anymore. You're in Narnia. Look, there's the smell of grass. And they brought this grass out and put it on their faces. And they would go, and they would bring them wine. And they could only taste mud. And they would bring them, set the table out before them, but they couldn't see it. Because they're under this discouragement. You know, and out there today, we can often get like that. We can forget Jesus' kingdom. We can forget him. And only see what's around us. Become incredibly absorbed by just the things that are around us. But actually, there's another reality. And we need to step out from that and step into it. We need to step into close connection with Jesus. You know, I want for you tonight to be able to step up from any kind of darkness, any kind of stable you are in, and come out to the sunshine, to the light of Jesus. Come out before him because he's there for you. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I believe that tonight is a special night. I believe that God's going to do something to you tonight. I think we can come to a different reality with Jesus. I think we can break out of something. I think we can pray it out from depression, like Andrew was saying. I think we can pray it out of fear. I think we can break out of discouragement and come to the reality with Jesus. I think we can step out tonight to come to know Jesus. You know, when on the days of Noah, he was building a great ark. He was building a great ark, and the ark of salvation was there for everyone, and little people went in it. Not many people went in it, but Noah and his sons. But you know, Jesus is building an ark right now. Jesus is building an ark of his kingdom, and it's a big, 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 big ark, and the door is wide open. You know, and all the rest of the world is going to be dissolved, just like that day of Noah when the waters came. Everything else is going to go and that ark is going to stay. But tonight, you can enter into that ark. You know, Jesus is that great ark. Jesus' salvation is there for all of us right now. And in that ark, there's total protection from the world. There's total protection from anything that's out there. There's total protection in him. There's total protection in Jesus. You know, it says in Romans 13:11, and do this, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. You know, the night is coming to an end. The day is almost here. Jesus' favor and love is right here tonight. It's so close. It's so close, we can just reach out and touch it. Shall we stand and pray? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've called us to be saved. You've called us out from this world. You've called us out from discouragement. You've called us out from deceitment, Lord, into your favor, into your love. Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, you would help us tonight to experience you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that tonight many in this room would make this step, Lord, into the ark of salvation. Peter says that everything is going to be destroyed. The elements of this world will be melted. Everything is going down. In English terms, it means your fences are going to be blown over. Your drives are going to be cracked up. Jenny's nice kitchen is going to melt. Everything is going to melt but Jesus. And actually, the only thing I want to say tonight is get out into God's favor from this world because it's going down. Don't be deceived in discouragement. Don't be a Christian living in the gray area. You know, once in my life, I remember when I was hit in the deck by the Holy Spirit, when I realized that God is black and white. He is. We're often stuck in the gray area. And, oh, what's this and what's that? But actually, it's black and white. And I encourage you to step out of discouragement and a black and white Christianity, because Jesus died to bring us joy, clarity, the truth. And I want you to step into Jesus tonight, into that ark, because it's all going down like a big ship that is sinking in the middle of the sea, pulls everything with it, pulls everything in its radius with it. Can I encourage you to swim away? Because that's this world. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to melt away. And you can now swim away from it like sailors would. When the ship was sinking, they would swim away from it, to not to be pulled in. And I encourage you tonight to swim away from discouragement. Swim away from bondage, from sin, from this world, from the evil of this world. Swim to Jesus. Swim to the salvation, to the lifeboat of Jesus tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray you would give us a touch from heaven right now. Lord, we expect you to come and help us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've conquered the devil. We thank you, Jesus, that we have joy in you. We have joy in your name, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can overcome everything. Thank you, Jesus. I just see the windscreen wipers of a car going back and forth right now. And I think God's switching it on for you. You've been driving with rain pouring down your front screen, unclear where you're going. But God wants to put those wipers on, clarity again, bring joy back into your life. It's just in Jesus. There's no magic trick. It's his name. It's in him. I want you to break through tonight, just as I am breaking through on this stage. Cry out to Jesus right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us come to know you.
truly. Bring us that joy, Lord, that you paid for on the cross. I refuse to live without it. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. God is with us. His kingdom reigns. The devil has lost. Jesus, his return is closer now than ever. Jesus has brought us favor. Turn from discouragement. There is no gray area anymore. There is no darkness in him. No more confusion. Turn to God. Receive his joy. We are the sheep of his pasture, the flock under his care. Believe in heaven. Believe in provisions. Believe in the reward that comes from following him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We choose to believe in you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you haven't given your life to Jesus fully, if you're not in the ark, I just pray you will put your hand right up high right now. If you want to swim away from this world, if you want to swim to God, if you are not a Christian in this room, you don't know Jesus, and you want to be saved, lift up your arm to him and cry out for help. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. None of us knows the day of his return. It could be right now. Paul said it's closer than we first believed. It's even closer now. And I believe it could be soon. I do. Do you want to swim away from this world? Well done. Just lift your arm right up high. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right, if you want to be blessed tonight, if you want to come into contact with Jesus, just like I did when I was a young boy, if you want to get away from not favor, if you just want to be free and happy like a sheep in his pasture, I want you to come forward right now and we'll pray for you. If you want to step out from this world and swim away from any bit of burden you came here with tonight, can I just encourage you to come forward and we'll pray for you right now. And can I ask the team to get some pictures of words of knowledge for these people? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shall we pray for each other? Shall we ask God to bless us? Has anyone got a word of knowledge from the team you want to share? Well done, Stephen.
Just, I read earlier, it says, through all generations you have been our home. And I just feel like that's for someone tonight. You know, God's your home. But right now you're not at home. And I just believe God's calling you tonight. You've been feeling through the message, you know, tonight's a night to respond. You know, God's your home. He's always been your home. But right now, you're not at home. And God's saying, now's your chance. Do you want to come home? You know, if you've got a home, you don't have to live in a cardboard box down the road and eat out of a bin. If you've got a home, you can go home. And tonight, the Holy Spirit's saying to you, will you come home? I really believe that's for someone tonight. Like, God's really speaking to you in your heart, saying, you know, you're not at home. Do you want to be home tonight? God's calling you. Come forward. Come stand at the front and say, God, I want to be at home. I don't want to be not at home. I really believe that's for someone tonight.
This is really similar to where Carl has been sharing, really, but I was thinking of it in the car on the way here, so I'm just going to share it. But I really feel like God wants somebody to break through tonight, and he wants you to step free of what you're in. And as most of you probably know, I had my baby a month ago, but he was 6.5 weeks early. And when he was born, me and Chris were filled with this incredible joy after he was born. And actually, he was whisked away. We didn't see him because he was ill. But we were so filled with joy for those next couple of hours. And we shouldn't have been. Because for all we knew, our son wasn't going to survive. He couldn't breathe on his own. But we were. And it's surreal, really, to think back on that. But that's what being saved is like. You know, God can, when you're saved, God can fill you with this incredible joy and this incredible peace, even if the circumstances of your life are the same as they were before you were saved. But then what happens, at least to me, is you let the world come back in. And I did that next night. I let the world come back in, and I started reading blogs online about premature babies and all the different things that can happen, and I was filled with fear, and I was crying, and I went down to sit next to where my son was in the incubator, and I just cried and cried and cried, and I called out to God, and I was praying and praying, and at first I was really scared too because all the nurses were around me, but I knew I had to fall on my feet and see God. I knew I had to find God. So I prayed in that room, and I didn't care who heard me. And that joy returned. And I just wonder if there's somebody in here today that, or a few of you actually, I think, that have let the world come back in. You know, you had that joy when you were first saved, and you've let the world come back in, and you don't know how to find your way out. Well, you need to get yourself down here. You need to get yourself to the front and fall on your feet and cry out to God. So I just encourage you to come forward now and do that. Don't feel scared about what people might think. Just step out and come forward and find God again. Find that joy again.
Thank you, Lord. Absolutely fantastic. Why don't we just close our eyes now where we are and just focus on God where we are. We'll close the meeting shortly, but there's people here that still need to meet with God. And we just want to have that opportunity, leave that opportunity open for you to do that right now, whatever it is that you need. You know, I just had this picture of someone walking along the high street, you know, like sort of in the Middlesbrough Town Centre High Street or something. And you sort of, they were walking along and then past the shops. And, you know, you come to those automatic doors, and as you come to those automatic doors, as you're walking past it, they open. Just because you're near, you know. Because you're near those doors, they open. And then if you were to continue walking past, they're shut again behind. And right now, tonight, is a moment for somebody or some of you who haven't yet responded to Jesus, who haven't yet responded to raise your hand to invite Jesus to come into your life and save your soul. And you know, tonight is that night where you're walking past that shop door. And the door is open for you tonight for salvation. For you to meet with Jesus. For you to have all your sins forgiven by him. For you to be washed clean with his blood. To be saved. To be in the ark. Like Carl was talking about. For eternity. To be able to be sure of that faith. To be absolutely 100% certain that you are right with God. Because when you walk out this room, nothing to do with this room, but it's a moment in God tonight for some of you. Those doors will shut behind you. Because you can't just come to God when you want, when you choose. The Bible says, you can only come when the Holy Spirit draws us to him. And tonight is a moment when those doors are open. The Holy Spirit's drawing us to him tonight. We're walking past the kingdom of heaven right now and the door is open. So I just wanted to give this final opportunity for any of you who are not absolutely sure that you're right with God. Because you please do not walk out those doors without being confident, 100% certain that you are covered in the blood of Jesus, that your soul is saved, that you'll be going to heaven for eternity. Because when you walk out, the doors are shut again. And you don't know, and I don't know when the next opportunity will come to be saved. So just while we have a few more minutes, I wanted to give this opportunity for anybody that's not sure, that's not absolutely clear of your salvation. And it's absolutely nothing to do with how you feel, nothing to do with how good you think you are or how much you've sinned. The blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse everything. And if that's you now, if you're not sure, and you want to be absolutely sure, and you want to walk in through those doors tonight, into Jesus, to be saved, to be right with him, if you haven't done it already, or if you have and you're not sure, just raise your hand now. Don't wait. Everyone's eyes shut. If you're not certain of your salvation, lift your hand now, and in doing that, you're not raising it to me or anybody else. You're lifting it to Jesus. And he will see your hand. And your hand is the prayer of your heart. And he will take your hand. And he will take your heart. And he will lift you up into him. And he'll give you a brand new life. And he'll wash away all your sin. And you'll be cleansed and you'll be right with God, marked with the blood of Jesus. If you're not absolutely sure of your salvation, then just put your hand in the air to God and only to him. And that is the prayer of your heart that's saying, Jesus, save me now. Save my soul. And he will. And that's what he's doing right now with every hand that's lifted up to him. Hallelujah. What a wonderful battle tonight. We have the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? The Bible says there's a party in heaven when one person comes to salvation in him. And tonight, not just one, but one, two, three, I believe, are being born again tonight for the first time. Shall we give Jesus a massive round of applause? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful victory. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for saving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give someone a hug. Say, well done. I know it's been cold. The heating's been off, but it's getting fixed tomorrow. So next week's going to be better and warmer. Praise the Lord. We'll close the meeting now. But if you need prayer, please come to the front and receive prayer for anything you want. There's tea and coffee at the back. And we'll put some background music on and chat with each other and get to know each other. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.